want you to turn with me here this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 and to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 2. And my message is all prayer. I just felt especially this morning my heart so filling up, enlarging and overflowing. I know we don't live by feelings, and I preach that often, but feelings are not wrong. Emotions are not wrong. And I want to tell you, just before or earlier this morning, I felt like turning to Candace and saying, the Lord's with us this morning. Yeah. Of course you could say, but he's always with us. He's in you. I know. But there's something where you get that sense, that feeling, that presence, that awareness. He's here. He's with me. He's in this message. He's going with me to the pulpit. I have that sense, an awareness of him, and my heart wells up to thank him. I actually feel it growing within me, the desire to thank him, to praise him, to give him glory. My heart, I feel it pulping. I feel it beating. I feel it enlarging. In the world, to have an enlarged heart is an illness, but not in the church. The Bible, I think it's in Isaiah, actually talks about not only having an enlarged step, but actually having an enlarged heart. I do want an enlarged heart in the things of God. Let's read together Ephesians chapter 6. Just reading a couple of simple scriptures here as we come to our message. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 in our series on prayer. And it says there, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And it says there again, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Will you join with me? You can just lift your hands where you are. Let's just speak to our God. Let's reach out to him. Tell him that we love him and we thank him this morning. We do love you, our heavenly Father. Our hearts are enlarged within us. My God, our mouths are open towards you. And I thank you. I praise you that I'm saved this morning. That you haven't cast us away as reprobates. That you don't give up on us, so God. You do not forsake us. My God, when I think of what I've got to thank you for, your goodness and your mercy and your love. Oh God, all that you do towards us, I love you this morning. I praise you. I bless you, oh God. I thank you, oh God, that in prayer I can give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise that's due unto your name. Yes. We reverence you, and Father, I do pray even in this message, enlarge our hearts to give thanks to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. My message is all prayer. Taking this statement from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with, notice what it says. You're to pray always, what with? All prayer. All prayer. This is a little statement I want to give you here this morning. I really want you to understand this little term, all prayer. I don't believe you may have fully understood it in the way that I'm going to share here. I believe that by this message this morning, you're going to realize that prayer is more than you ever thought it actually was. This little statement, all prayer, what does it mean? You see, we've already dealt in the past 2 weeks about praying at all times and praying for all saints. But here this morning, I want to deal with all prayer, not just prayer at all times, not for just all men, but all prayer. What does the term all prayer mean? It means every kind of prayer that's available to you. It means all manners of prayer. It means different types of prayer. It means different functions of prayer. It means the entire scope of prayer. That's what all prayer actually means. It is revealing the breadth of prayer. Prayer isn't singular. Prayer is all prayer. When we talk about prayer, we're not just saying coming and saying, God, I need this. God, I am in trouble. That isn't all prayer. That is prayer, but that is not all prayer. Here this morning, I want to take the term prayer and I want to broaden it to give you a biblical understanding of prayer. I want you to see prayer in its breadth. I want you to see prayer in its fullness. I want you to understand that prayer is not just asking for something from God. When you restrict prayer or limit prayer to asking for things, you are not experiencing all prayer, because all prayer is far greater than simply asking for things when we have need. I believe when you look at the life of Christ in the Word of God, in the Gospels, that you see all prayer. You see Him literally being clothed with all prayer. Let me prove it to you just for a couple of moments here as we go into this message. Let me prove what I'm going to teach you and show you from the life of Christ, that prayer is very broad, that it has many different functions, that it is of great variety. And when you think of prayer as just simply asking for something, you are missing out on the fullness of prayer. And listen to me carefully, you are in danger when you only see prayer singular. I've got to pray for things. You are in danger of losing the joy of prayer, the benefit of prayer, the blessing of prayer, because you go, oh, the burden, oh, the trial of trying to engage my heart and to intercede and to pray through and to lay a hold of God. That is not the fullness of prayer. And if that's all you think prayer is, it'll be too heavy a burden. You could be in danger of losing the reality of all prayer. In the life of Christ, we read in John 11:41. Listen to these prayers of Christ. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He's thanking his Father in heaven. And I knew that thou hears me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice saying, Lazarus, come forth. I want you to see Christ at times standing outside of the tomb of Lazarus. He didn't pray for Lazarus. He commanded him to come forth. Look at him outside. If you were about to command a dead man to come out of a grave, what sort of prayer would you be praying? Let me tell you what Christ prayed. He lifted his eyes heavenward, his heart heavenward, his voice heavenward. Then he says, I thank you that thou hast heard me. There's no stress, there's no pressure. He is standing outside his friend's grave, but he is thanking his Father in heaven. Or what about at Matthew 11:25? It says, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Look what Christ is doing here. You will find throughout his ministry these short, simple, powerful, heavenward prayers of thanks to his heavenly Father. In all manners of situations, he is turning heavenward. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. What was he thanking him for? You've hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you've opened them up unto babes. You know why? He was seeing little children whose minds and hearts were opening up and saying, I believe. And you know what he done? He says, thank you, Father. Thank thank you, Father, that you're revealing to a child of 4 and a half like Keith Malcolmson was. Can you imagine Christ looking down as I opened my heart at 4 and a half and said, I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me. I can see Christ at the right hand of the Father saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have opened the heart of a child, not in simplicity, but in great depth, to say, I do believe, I will believe. Saints, when you begin to realize what prayer is, how prayer functions, and all that it involves, it is a remarkable life-giving thing. Not just a heavy burden, but what is prayer? Listen to the simplest definition. I'm going to give a prayer. Prayer is communication with your Heavenly Father. What is it? Prayer is communication with your Heavenly Father. That is prayer. That is prayer in His breath. Any communication from your heart to God in heaven is a prayer. It may take different forms. It may have different things in it. It may look and sound different. But all it is prayer. You communicating with your Heavenly Father. Or what about in John chapter 12 and verse 28? Christ had just talked about His coming death. Listen to what He prays again. Father, glorify Thy name. Look at it. He's talking about, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. This is the will of my Father. But Father, glorify your name. In the midst of it all, I'm not looking forward to that. I'm enduring this for the joy set before me. But you know, in it all, be glorified, my Father. Be glorified. He's not laughing about the cross, but He is glorying in the Father. What is it to ask the Father to be glorified? It is prayer. Or what about John 17? It's a bit different. It is a long, detailed, doctrinal prayer of Christ for His saints alone. You remember at the beginning of John chapter 14, we have the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, the Last Supper, or communion. At the beginning of chapter 4, that's where we see them. Then from chapter 14 through to the end of chapter 16, you have teaching. Christ is with them, teaching them. But then in John chapter 17, we have His prayer. This was a long, deliberate, doctrinal, exact prayer that He was praying for those sitting at that table and for you and I in this room. Since when we begin to read the prayers of Jesus Christ, we begin to see all prayer. It's not only asking for something, but it's far more than that. Or in Matthew 26:42, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, "Oh my Father." Notice it's always the Father in prayer, isn't it? Oh my Father. Oh Father in heaven. How do we pray? We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. We don't pray to a saint. We certainly don't pray to Mary. We pray to our Father in heaven. It's all through the Bible. But what did He pray? He's in the garden, knowing He's about to be crucified. But He's praying in the garden, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass from me. I don't want it. But if that can happen, then Father, Your will be done. Not my will, but Your will be done. What's He doing? 3 times He prays in the garden. Oh God, if this cup of crucifixion, of suffering, of rejection can go, please let it go. But if not, then make me willing. I want to do Your will. What is that? That is prayer. That's prayer. Even on the cross, as Christ is crucified, we read about Him praying 3 times on the cross. And one of those prayers is, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. What a prayer from the cross. He's not praying for deliverance. He's not praying about His own agony. He's not praying for the shame of the situation. He's saying, Father, forgive them. He's reviled. He's rejected. He's in pain. He's in agony. And yet he's praying for them that they be forgiven. When we look at the life and ministry of Christ, we see him laying hands on children and blessing them. We see him praying for the sick. We see him praying and casting out demons from people who were possessed. We see where and when he prayed. He prayed all night. He prayed early in the morning as a habit. He prayed alone. And what do we call that? We call it closet prayer. He prayed with others. He prayed on mountains. He prayed in deserts. He prayed in gardens. He prayed in the temple. He prayed. When you begin to look at this, this is all prayer. Saints, let me bring you to this statement, Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer. It's a command. It's an encouragement. It's a blessing. It's a benefit. It is a door of opportunity. There is a door open for you to pray always with all prayer. Not one type of prayer. Not just asking for things. But you are called to come and praying always at all times in every situation to use all different types of prayer. You don't use all the same prayer, I assure you. And some of you are only trying to ask for things. You get tired, you get weary. You need to add something else to that prayer life. I want to assure you here this morning. You see, all prayer is all kinds of prayer. Spontaneous prayer that flows out of your heart. Or what about the Lord's Prayer that has very exact statements and a theme and an order in it that you can follow? There are short prayers in the Bible. There are long, reasoned, arguing prayers in the Bible. There is prayer with your natural mind where you fully understand what you're praying. But there's also prayer with the Spirit or prayer in tongues where it comes out of your spirit and you do not know with your natural mind what you're actually praying. In prayer, we can wrestle with God, like Jacob did to become a prince with God. Or you can wrestle in prayer against the devil. All of this is prayer. You can pray alone in your prayer closet, or with your family, or with two or three people, or with the church in its entirety. You can pray audibly with your voice, with your mouth. Or you can pray silently. To pray silently, you're still praying. Don't think because I pray. I'm often in situations, no, people are around me, they don't hear me pray. I'm praying. I can sit at the table with you. I'm going, I'm praying for you, or I'm praying for a situation. Prayer can be deep groanings of the Spirit that not even you understand. Prayer can be rejoicing in joy, or real prayer could be with weeping and great sadness. It's still prayer. Don't think because you're not rejoicing it's not prayer. Just because you're weeping, it doesn't mean it's not prayer. There's all kinds of prayer. And don't think you have to weep in order to pray. You could be rejoicing, almost laughing, and yet pray unto God. It's real, genuine prayer. You can wait upon God. And I'm just telling you what all prayer is. You can wait upon God, which means you're not asking. You're not even speaking. You're not even trying to say something. But you are listening. You are waiting. You are open. Have you ever waited on God? Well, you go aside and you're just in his presence. You're not even speaking. You're not trying to tell him something or get something from him. But you're waiting, looking for instructions. Or you're looking for a communication of God. That is called waiting on the Lord. The Bible tells us about the prayer of faith. We're told about agreement in prayer. The prayer of consecration, prayer and fasting, prayer when we are tempted, praying for ourselves and praying for others. All of this is all prayer. But look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. What is the context of all prayer? It is the spiritual armor. We have Paul writing to the church about our warfare in wrestling against powers of darkness. He then teaches about the armor of the Christian, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of truth, the belt, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth. You're having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. This is the armor. Then he gives us the instruction of 18. Do not separate this from your warfare. Do you know why some of you have got hurt in the battle and are suffering in the battle? Oh, you've got your shield of faith. Oh, you've got your sword of the Spirit. But where is all prayer? Do you realize all prayer is to help you in this battle? You could have the armor on and neglect prayer and get hurt badly. So having put on the armor of God and understanding the armor of God, do you know what you do? Praying always with all prayer. All different types of prayer. In Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan refers to one of the Christian's weapons that he wears called all prayer. You see him with his armor on walking through life's battle. First he had to face Apollyon, who is the devil. How did he defeat Apollyon? With the sword of the Spirit. It is written. The word of God says he defeated the devil. Then he goes a bit further and he comes to the valley of the shadow of death. And as he's walking through the valley, there are burnings of fire. It is so dark. There are gremlins in the dark and all manners of creatures of the night. And he is there scared, walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's nowhere near death. These are experiences a Christian go through, where I can be walking and darkness engulfs me and the enemy is all around me and I am in fear and trembling and I don't know what lies ahead of me and I don't see any way through the valley. Do you know what he said? He said, now it's not time for the sword of the Spirit. Now it's time for all prayer. And how did he get through the valley of the shadow of death? He said, through all prayer. I call on you to deliver me, my Lord. What did the Lord do? The Lord answered him and delivered him out of his troubles and his trial. You see, John Bunyan understood this, that sometimes you need the sword of the Spirit. Other times you need all prayer. And you need to understand this all prayer in a very real way. Think for a moment of an isolated soldier on a battlefield. He's there alone and there's an entire enemy army ahead of him. There are tanks, there are all manners of guns, all manners of regiments and soldiers. There's air cover of that army. Think of an individual soldier in that war. Do you know what one of his greatest means of defenses is? Communication, that radio he has. Without a radio, through that radio, he can call for reinforcements. He can call for the Air Force to come in and bomb the enemy. He can call for all manners of manpower, weapons, supply, food. He can call for the tanks to move up. He is not alone. But you know what? A soldier isolated who says, I'm a soldier. I fight the fight alone. I'm here and I'm going to stand against what a poor soldier he is. You know what? He says, I'm part of an army. I'm going to call on the hosts of heaven. I am going to put on all prayer. Saints, some of you suffer because you don't put on all prayer. You can be strengthened this morning. You can get a victory this morning. You can call for the elders to lay hands on you and we'll pray for you. You can actually say, I've got a prayer request. Or you can come and seek counsel. But saints, all prayer is a remarkable thing. And yet, in the church, we have soldiers fighting alone. They're not on their radio. They're not communicating. They're not phoning up the general in command saying, I need your help. What general would leave a soldier helpless on a battlefield? You know what? A real general, a real captain will say, we're going to go get him. I've seen in stories where soldiers have gone in and rescued their fellow laborers who have been taken by the enemy. They send in special forces. They send in a head squad and say, you know what? We're not going to let our guys die in the hands of the enemy. We'll rescue them. We're going to recover them. Saints, I'm telling you here, in this church, in your life, all of heaven is before you. The angels, Christ is at the right hand of the Father. But you know what he's saying? Put on all prayer. Put on all prayer. Let me try to explain this here this morning. What all prayer is with three things. I'm just going to deal with three things here. First of all, thanksgiving. Second of all, supplications. Third of all, intercessions. All three of these are prayer. And yet they're very different. Very, very different. And I want you to understand the breadth of prayer here this morning. First of all, we have thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a form of prayer. Most people misunderstand prayer because they think it's just asking for things. When I need it, when I'm in trouble, God, I need your help. If you don't have thanksgiving as a vital part of your prayer life, you're not praying. You're not covered. You're not sheltered in a battle. I cannot tell you how important thanksgiving is in prayer. Thanksgiving is not asking for something. Thanksgiving is talking to your heavenly Father and beginning to say, thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Let me prove it here for a moment, that it's not just religious, mechanical, obligatory, duty-bound, burdensome task of prayer. Prayer is something more than that. How do you think my marriage with Candace would be? My relationship? If for the past 13 years, all I did was ask her to do things for me. Do you hear me this morning? Can you imagine a relationship between two people when I only go to her when I need something, or I'm in trouble, or I need something cooked, or I've broken something and she knows how to fix it, and I go to her 10 times or 20 times a day and say, look, can you help me? Sure, I'll help you. Do you want me to do it? Yes, I do very much. And that marks our relationship for the next 13 years. I assure you, right here this morning, our relationship would have problems. If all I am is doing, asking, you know why? I'm using her. That is no longer a relationship. That's not a friendship. That's not a fellowship and a communion. Do you see and understand? Prayer is much more than just asking things. Prayer is much more than asking somebody to do something. Prayer isn't just asking God the Father to do things that we cannot do. Prayer is far bigger than that. And if you restrict it, you are going to get very tired, very weighed down, very burdened. And you know what? God's going to be going, oh, I wish we could fellowship. I wish you'd approach me and say, I love you. I wish we had a time alone. You know, at certain times over the years, Candace has maybe said, I think we need to shut down a bit. We're doing things, we're carrying on, it's good what we're doing, we're working together. But you know, all work and no play. It's a very human natural thing. But I feel that God's heart says, I just want to commune with you. I just want to walk with you. I wish you stopped in the middle of the day and you just said, God, glorify your name. Forget about me. I've got troubles. I'll always have troubles. There's always something. But glorify your name. Oh, Father, I thank you for all that you've done. When's the last time you only went to prayer and thanked him for things? When is the last time? This will change you. This will affect you. This will enliven your prayer life. You're not going there to ask for something. Lord, I want to be with you. I love you. I desire you. I want to be away from my husband, my wife, my children, all the church. I just want to be alone with you. And I'm not going to, it's not that I want something. Isn't it terrible? whenever you have someone come to you and you go, now what do you want? Now what do you want? Because they won't come, they're not coming looking just to sit and talk and how are you doing? Do you know, I've known people before, every time you talk to them, it's always about them. It's not a two-way conversation. We're talking, but it's always about them. They never ask. They don't know anything about me. I know everything about them. It's always about them. They're talking about their trials and I'm half dying. And going, well, we'll pray for you. I'm not talking about anyone in here, okay? Let me give you some scriptures on Thanksgiving. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 4. And this is Paul writing, I thank my God always on your behalf. He's not just praying for the church. He says, I am always thanking God for you. If you're always praying for me and not thanking God for me, you may get tired of that. That may wear on you. I hope you begin to pray, Father, I thank you for a preacher in the pulpit. Not just praying that God uses me. I hope that you simply do that and that we do that with each other. You know what I'm doing this morning? Thank you for this church. Thank you for these individuals. Thank you for these families. Thank you for these children. Since the Bible teaches that when we pray, we're to thank God even for others. Why? For the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. Now what about in Ephesians chapter 5 and 4? It said there's certain things shouldn't be once named among us. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which is not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Do you know what he's saying? A Christian, it shouldn't even be named once amongst us foolish talking. That's silly talk or buffoonery. If you act like a buffoon, you know what the Bible says? You shouldn't do that. Nor jesting, which means well turned, to have a ready prepared repertoire of witticism and ribaldry. In other words, you come in ready armed with this, hyped up to the hilts with all of your funny comments, ready to pour out. Shouldn't be mentioned in a Christian's life. That isn't for the body of Christ. That isn't for the church. You know what he says? You ought to be filled with giving thanks. You know, this week I had a preacher tell me, he said, Oxshire, you've got to have a laugh, you've got to joke, you've got to be silly, you'd go crazy if you didn't. I'm sitting there, if you don't pray, you'll go crazy. If you don't pray, I'm not talking about not having a joke or fun or laughing. There are things we laugh about, there is fun. But things, there's a foolishness and a lightness that's replaced thanking God. Thanking God is your strength. That's what is a real strength. It says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Philippians chapter 1 and 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, always making requests with joy. It says in Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing. Don't be worried. Don't be weighed down with anxiety. Don't have your mind pulled apart with fretting. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Every time you go to prayer, be thanking Him for the blood. Thank Him for the cross. Don't dare ask Him for anything without approaching, saying, thank you, my Father. I worship you. I bless you. Thank you for the blood. Since that affects your prayer life. It says in Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him in all that you do. In Colossians 4 and 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. It says in 1 Thessalonians 3, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before God, night and day, praying exceedingly. Notice again, thanks dominates prayer. Saints, thanks to God the Father should dominate your prayer. Don't pray me unless you're thanking God. Don't pray for this church unless you're thanking God. Don't pray for your husband unless you're thanking God. Don't pray for your wife unless you're thanking God. Don't pray for your unsafe family members unless you say, thank God they're not in hell yet. Thank God the gospel has come to me and they can be reached. Thank God there's somebody in this family who can pray for them. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you want to know God's will for your life? Oh yes, to be sanctified. Yes, that's right. But let me give you another one. I know God's will for your life. Do you know what God's will for your life is? To give thanks in everything. That is God's will for your life. Oh, I want to know if I'm called to the mission field. Oh, I want to know who I'm going to marry. Oh, I want to know what job ought to be in. Give thanks to God. This is God's will for your life. Give thanks in everything. You're in the trials, give thanks. Oh, I can't. That'd be hypocritical. Give thanks. Giving thanks is not an emotion. It's not happiness. It's not a feeling. Giving thanks is something much more. In Luke chapter 17, we read about 10 lepers who came to Christ. Each one of them was seriously ill with leprosy. And it says that they come and stood at a distance and begin crying out to Jesus, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." You know what it says? When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And listen, one of them, which saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Catholic. He was an atheist. He was a Muslim. He was a thousand things. He's a drunkard. He's a heroin addict. Yes, but Christ touched them. Christ touched them. And you know, it says they turned back and he began to give thanks. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Where's the 10 that were cleansed? I healed 10. And only one comes back to give me thanks." You say, "I'd never do that." Really? Oh, if God healed me of leprosy, I would never just keep walking down the road without giving thanks. Really? Do you know what God's done for you? Do we realize how much we ought to give thanks for his grace and his mercy? I believe all, if not most of us sitting here, would be in a terrible pit of sin this morning if it wasn't for the mighty grace and mercy of God. His restraining power, his recovering grace, his conviction upon us. What a mess we would have made of it all. I mean, every area of our life. You see, that's thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is prayer. It marks a relationship, a friendship. Prayer isn't just a task of a Christian. Prayer's my Christian life. It's how I breathe. It's how I exist. Lord, thank you. You know, the other day we're walking down the road and Candace is with my two nephews and my little niece and they go running off. I couldn't keep up with them, so I'm walking. They thought I couldn't run as fast as them. That wasn't true. Candace may think that, but that isn't true. I'm just walking behind. They're all ahead and I'm just praying for them. Thank you for these kids. Thank you for these kids, Lord. And I'm just quietly praying. They don't know I'm praying, but I'm praying for them. So precious to be with them. Only get the chance once a year. And I'm praying for them. I'm praying. I'm communing with the Lord. I'm speaking to the Lord. Driving down the road on Friday night very late. And Candace is there. I'm talking away to the Lord. I'm thinking. I'm praying. I was mowing the garden yesterday. I'm going along thanking God for your life and what he does does in your lives. But secondly, supplication. First of all, thanksgiving. It's the outpouring of your heart. But secondly, supplication. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice that supplication is joined to all prayer. It's a very unique thing. You see, most people think prayer is supplication. What's supplication? It means to make requests, petitions, or to beg God to do things. It means to come unto Him, and you ought to, you're commanded to, come and pray unto God. Make your requests known unto God. But you know what? Here it is separated from all prayer to show you asking for things isn't all prayer. Don't get it confused. Supplication is different than all prayer. And in fact, it's one part of all prayer. Listen to what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Notice, first of all, we are given the full scope of prayer. Supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks. This is prayer. Saints, arm yourself with prayer. Ask God, pray to God. Ask Him to do specific things. But let it be mixed with thanksgiving. I give you glory. I praise you. I thank you for what you have done. It says in 1 Timothy 5 and 5, continue in supplications and in prayers night and day. Philippians chapter 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This is how you bring your requests, with thanksgiving. Make sure thanksgiving is there. But in the midst of thanksgiving, ask very specifically what you want God to do. Do you know it's God's will for you to ask for things to be done? Things that you cannot do. Things that are a burden. Things that are a trial. See, this morning, Victoria praying for God to help with young Thomas. Those aren't foolish prayers. These are real prayers. Lord, we're asking you to help us in the most simple things of our daily life. I need you. I cannot do this alone. That's what prayer is. Prayer shows your reliance upon God, your dependence on Him, your weakness apart from Him. This is prayer. That as we come with thanksgiving, we ask Him specific things. Prayer is specifically asking for needs. It's bringing spiritually intelligent and appropriate requests to God. You know, in the Old Testament, we're told, come and make your cause. Come and plead your corner. Come and argue with me. Do you know the Bible says that? You're to come unto God and argue. See, in prayer, there's a time for you to begin quoting scripture to God. Sure, God knows the Bible. Why am I quoting scripture? Sure, God knows it. I know He knows it. But you know what? We're told to argue with Him, to persuade Him, to give Him reasons. Lord, it's for Your glory to save my family. Lord, it's for Your honor. Oh God, for a testimony for Your name. Get scriptures and start arguing with God. Start wrestling in prayer. You see, that is supplication. That is supplication. Engage in your heart to go and get something from God. It says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that is in Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Saints, are you persuaded that God not only commands you to ask, but He wants to answer your prayers? He wants to answer your desires. You have to prevail with God, because God is saying, come and ask. Come and knock. Come and reason with me together. It's a relationship. When we first got married, and I know I've said this before, but I know I'm a dogmatic person. I am very persuaded. I am very settled in what I believe and what I think about almost everything in life. But I did say to Candace, I can be persuaded. I said, look, I am a very dogmatic person. But if you disagree with me, reason with me. Not argue with me, but reason, persuade me. Do you know how many times Candace has persuaded me to do something that initially I wasn't inclined to do? I saw it differently. I'd rather not have pink walls in that room, thank you very much. I'd rather not have that particular picture on that wall. But there is a reasoning. Reasoning isn't wrong. Do you know what? I love her, but I think I know best. But she's reasoning with me. Since that's imperfect, but with God, we're saying, oh God, will you move in my life? Will you use my life? Will you work in this church? Will you do something in this city? We're reasoning. You know what? It's a relationship. It's not that he tells us, you're going to do this and don't open your mouth. He wants prayer to be, oh God, what about your glory? What about your honor? What about your testimony? You remember Moses in Israel. And Israel had sinned against God and disobeyed God. And we're told in the Bible that God said, Moses, step out of the way. I am going to destroy the entire nation. And I'm going to start with you again. I'm going to create a new nation out of Moses. I'll destroy them because of their rebellion and their sin and their disobedience. God would have done it. God was going to do that. But you know what happened? Moses stood there and said, no, God, don't do it. Don't do it. I think some of you might have said, yes, God, get rid of them. Start with me. Let's have a new people of Moses, no longer named Israel. Lord, I knew they deserved it. Lord, they were like that with me. Man, I'm glad you think the same as me. Do you realize God is perfect and holy and righteous and he was going to destroy them? But a man starts saying, what about your testimony? What about your glory? What about your honor, God? Don't do it. Or the heathen will blaspheme your name. They'll say, you weren't faithful to your people. Do you know what God done? God had put his character in Moses. God had actually put his desires and thoughts and ways. You know why? Because God can get angry. God can get angry and said, I've had enough. And you know what? He knows that. So he puts within a man a desire to say, I care about your glory. I care about your kingdom. I care about your testimony. All that was in Moses. And it rose up. You see, petitions in Mark chapter 11, 24. And this Jesus speaking. Whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them. I think some of you forget that and you don't believe it. This is a hard way. God is demanding of us. You actually forget verses like this where he said, come, tell me your desires, the things you crave, the things you long for. I want you to come and ask me so I can answer and do it. And all the time you're going, man, he wants me to do this. And all the time he's saying, will you come and pour out your heart before me? He actually says, whatsoever you desire, you require. Not what you desire, but what you require. Come and make it known unto him when you pray. Your prayers should be filled with deep desires. Not ritual, not mechanical. But it's a deep desire saying, oh God, will you do this? Let me give you an example. You'll be shocked at this. But Luke chapter 1 verse 13, let me tell you about a man who made known his desire to God. His desire was ridiculous. It was very unlikely. In fact, it was impossible. In fact, if anyone had heard his prayer, they would have said, please don't pray that publicly in the prayer meeting next Friday night. Please never pray that. It's embarrassing. You wonder what it is. In Luke chapter 1, it says, an angel said unto Zacharias. Remember old Zacharias, a priest in the house of God? He's an old man. And it said, Zacharias, fear not, for thy prayer is heard. That word prayer is desire, the thing you are craving for. Why did the angel come to him and appear for him? As he's there in the temple, an angel appears. Why did the angel come? He says, I've come to answer your prayer, your craving, your deep desire. And I've come to answer that. What actually happened? He says, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Do you realize they were past age, both of them? Do you realize Elizabeth couldn't have a child? And yet here is old Zechariah in the temple. He had to pray this, saints. God didn't just bring forth a John the Baptist. God didn't just make that old dried up womb alive again to bring forth a child. Oh no, Zechariah's in there. He said, oh God, I crave. Man, we've never had a child. I crave a child. I crave. Don't be praying for us, okay? Friday night, don't be praying in the prayer meeting. We're quite happy as we are. But John is there craving. And you know what happened? God gave a John the Baptist to Israel. You know what that come out of? Simply asking. Oh no, he's too busy. Oh no, that's not important enough. Oh no, that's not spiritual enough. Do you know that God desires to answer your prayer? Since prayer is not a heavy burden, it's an opening of the heart to say, oh God, will you walk with me? My God, will you make me a holy man or woman? My God, will you set me on fire and do something in my life? It says in Psalm 37 and 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Let me say it again. Delight yourself in the Lord. The word delight there means be pliable or to be soft. In other words, delight yourself in the Lord. Accommodate yourself to him. Be pliable in his will. And he says he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you bend to him, then he inclines his ear to you. If you listen to him, he listens to you. Since he wants to give you the desires of your heart, but delight yourself in the Lord. Thirdly and lastly here, not only thanksgiving, not only supplication, asking things, but thirdly and lastly, intercession. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I know you ask for things. I know you give thanks to God. Do you intercede? Do you understand what intercession and prayer is? It's not merely asking for things. It's not merely praying for 21 days so God will answer your prayers for your own life. It's actually more than that. What is intercession? Intercession is prayer for others. But not just normal prayer. It's a unique type of prayer. We have in the Old Testament an example in Abraham. In Genesis chapter 18, three angels of the Lord came to Abraham at his tent. You remember when Abraham was actually at the door of his tent, he's looking out into the desert, and here come three men. Three men come walking out of the wilderness and approach him, and he gets Sarah, go make a meal, Sarah. Get the pot on, get the tea boiling. Here come three strangers, and he compels them to be with him. He knows they're spiritual, he knows they're men of God, and they begin to eat together. You know what one of them says? Sarah's going to have a child. She's inside cooking. Do you know what she done? She laughed. She laughed at the word of God because she didn't believe it. And the angel of the Lord rebukes her, said, you laughed. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. I heard you. You laugh because you thought it's ridiculous that you're an old woman and you're not going to have a child. But I'm telling you, this time next year, you're going to have a child. You will have a child. Believe me, you are going to have a child. God's going to do a miracle. And you don't believe and you're laughing. You can't even believe God would do something like that. It's too late. It's too long ago. It's too impossible. It's too hard for God to answer my prayers. I'm not asking you to pray for babies in here. You are doing quite well as it is, okay? But I am saying, You can carry the burden within your heart of things that are hidden in your heart. It can be for a partner. Why not pray? Do you think God doesn't care about a partner, a husband, a wife? Don't you know that you don't deserve anything from the hand of God? I didn't. No one in here did. But God can bless you. You know, you can go alone with God and begin to pray. Anyway, I'm getting off my track. Intercession. With intercession there in that house. You know, two of the angels left and one of them stayed with Abraham. He was called the angel of the Lord. It was Christ. It was a pre-incarnate Christ. And he walked. Where's the two other angels? They've gone to Sodom and Gomorrah. They've gone there to drag Lot and his family out before they destroy the city. But you know, the angel of the Lord is with Abraham. And listen, it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I'm talking about intercession, where God reveals things to you. He shows you things that are going on. He reveals things about your family, relatives, the nation, the city. God does do that. When you're a praying man or woman, God can actually show you things that are about to happen. And God says, I'm not going to hide from Abraham. Who's Abraham? Well, he's a dried out old man. He's walking about with his wife. They've got a whole herd of people, servants with them. And he says, I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm about to do. Remember how he said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, will you destroy? No. Lord, let me speak once again. If there's 45, will you destroy it? No, I won't. Lord, what about 40? What about 30? What about 20? What about 10? If there are 10 righteous people in the city, will you still destroy it? You know what God said? No, I won't destroy it. If I can find 10 righteous, do you realize if Lot's family had been righteous and he'd had enough children that were righteous, God would have saved that city. He would have held back his wrath and his judgment. But you know what happened? He couldn't find 10 righteous in the city. He would have answered Abraham's prayer. Do you know what that is? Intercession. Intercession. Let me explain to you what intercession actually is. Intercession is a day's man. Let me give this to you before we close here. What is a day's man? It says in Job chapter 9 and 33, neither is there any day's man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon both of us. You know what a day's man is? He stands between two people, two enemies, and he lays his hand upon the head of one, and he lays his hand upon the head of the other, and he pleads. You see, they're never going to be friends. They're never going to do anything for each other. But he is in the middle, pleading the cause of both, and reconciling them, and trying to judge and do what is right. That is intercession. You know what you do with intercession? You've got one hand upon God. You lay hold of God. And then with the other hand, you lay hold of your unsaved family. Or some unsaved person in your household. Or someone you know. And you stand between them. You are an intercessor. An intermediate. You are someone who goes between a man or a woman on their way to hell. And you're between God and you stand there praying, God, don't let them die and go to hell. Lord, save them. Lord, intervene. Do you know where your family members are going to go if there isn't an intercessor? If there's not someone to pray, to lay a hold of God, to not lay a hold of God. Do you so care so little for your family that you don't intercede? That you don't sacrifice and lay your life down and pray constantly for them? Is their soul in hell for eternity where so little to your mind and your conscience that you've never prayed late into the night or you've never prayed early in the morning? Listen to what it says in Ezekiel 22. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. There's a hole in the hedge. And God is looking for a man to stand in the hedge. There's something missing. There's nobody there. There's a hole in the hedge where people can get out of. And he says, I'm seeking for a man. I'm seeking for a man in your family, on your street, in your workplace, in your high street, in your house and estate. And he says, and to stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Listen to this, I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own ways have I recompensed on their head, saith the Lord. You know why? There was no days man. There was nobody to intercede. There's no one saying, oh God, will you save them? They don't deserve it. Oh God, will you save them? Will you save my family members? Will you save my grandchildren? Will you save my nephew? Oh God, will you do this for your glory? Saints, I'm showing you something of all prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, when it says praying always with all prayer, it means thanksgiving. Fill your prayer life with thanksgiving. Saints, let that communion with the Lord constantly say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Make your needs, your supplications known, and intercede for those who have no one to pray for them. Let's pray together. My Lord and my God.